Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. But because so many of you encounter us, visually, audio, on digital media, we ask you to share. We need to wake up a lot of people that are still slumbering or think they can sit on the fence. And I'm one of those crazy people that thinks that America's fate could be decided within the next 90 days. We are, I think, at the biggest crossroads we've ever been at as a nation, my perspective. But I would hope that all of you would join the battle, get involved. And one of the things you can do, people ask me, Dave, what can I do? Share the work of people that you think are telling the truth so we can educate the general public. So please do that. Hey, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios, and we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And I've been a happy customer of Noble Gold for over 6.5 years. In fact, I'm making a silver purchase today. I closed a deal on something else, got the money. It's not going to the bank. The banks under Dodd-Frank can steal your money. You're an unsecured creditor. You can look that up. And what I'm telling you right now is you need to diversify, and I'm diversifying in Noble Gold. They can convert your retirement to your control, back it with precious metals. They can save your bank account. Let me send you some free information on how that's done. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. I'll rush it out. And by the way, they will never hard sell you. In fact, you've got to close your own deal. That shocked me the first time I dealt with them, that they are trained not to be pushy. And I have to give a disclaimer. The Federal Trade Commission, and we follow the law, Federal Trade Commission says, I must inform you that all investments carry an inherent risk and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. They leave that warning short, though. They should include how the banks can steal your money. And I hope that'll be your overriding thought. DaveHodgesGold.com. Hey, you see, we've got a great guest for us today, John B. Wells of Caravan to Midnight. He was with Coast to Coast. And I've always said, John and the late, great Art Bell, who I adored, they're two best hosts that show ever had. Not trying to knock anybody, but I'm saying that's when I really loved staying up past when I should stay up and listen to late night radio. Well, fortunately, John continues, and on Caravan, a tremendous show, certainly one of the elite shows in America today. And I asked John to come on with all these things going on to give his perspective, because he interviews a lot of great people. What's John's perspective of what's going on today that we all need to be concerned about? Hey, John, thanks for joining us, my friend. Great to have you back on.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Dave. Thank you very much. You were instrumental in getting the word out that I had left Coast to Coast, and people just wondered what happened. And you put the word out. You helped us a lot, so I won't be forgetting that.
John, it was a labor of love because, Art told the truth for years and years until he was quieted by the authorities. And then you come along and you're not going to back down. You're telling the truth. And Coast said, we can't have you telling the truth, John. Goodbye. And so I'm selfish. I wanted good radio. So that's why I did what I did. And I'm glad it's worked out so well for you guys.
Well, it's worked out pretty well. I'll tell you, that's been 10 years ago now. No, 12, 10 years ago since I left Coast. Time flies, doesn't it? Outrageous.
It
Whole
really
decade.
does. And in the interest of being fair, and I am a Christian, so I don't like to demean people unless I'm giving just factual information. George Norrie did call me in the midst of me supporting you and tried to reason with me. And I want to give him credit for doing that, but I have to be honest with you. I can't tell you the last time I've ever listened to Coast, and it's just my personal preference. Well, John, I am really worried. I love my country. Okay, it's God, family, country for me. I love America. I come out of a military family. I am so afraid for our future. I think satanic Bolshevik communists, and I mean those terms literally, have overtaken this administration. And I think that they have the worst intentions for us. I'm just wondering how you see what's going on and what you think is critically important.
That's almost like putting a blindfold on and being pointed toward the dartboard and just throw, because pretty much where if you can hit the dartboard at all, hey, you're golden. However, that said, I could extrapolate that just a little bit, and I think really what we're aiming for is not necessarily the dartboard, but the wall that it's sitting on. I think that's where the real problem is, that void. What is behind? What is I always ask these two questions. Why am I hearing about this news, this bit of news, at all? Number two, why am I hearing it now? Mm-hmm. I was watching a Russian mob boss today. Forgive me. It's almost like, you know, somebody will take a sack full of flour and kind of dust a pie crust before they put it in the oven. I feel like that's happened to my face with a bag of allergens that have been blowing through the air. So I'll be muting the mic every once in a while to sniff or do something like that.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I was watching this this thing about it says he's a Russian mob boss. And he holds up this thing and he says, this is not a phone. This is a multi-billion dollar tracking device. It's intended to take over your whole mind and corrupt your mind. So I think years ago on Coast, I spoke with, at this moment I can't call his name to save my life, George, not Nori, of course. He was mentored by a man at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he mentioned this thing called information disease. And I believe what is afflicting this country, among the people who are paying attention or trying to pay attention to what's really happened, I think they've got a dose of information disease, because you don't really get any answers to your questions. It's just one emotional spike with a little bit of the mental in there too. The mental part reads the message or hears the message, and then the emotional part reacts to the message. So again, why are we hearing all of this stuff at all? And why are we hearing it now? So that, I believe that going back to Patrick McGoohan's Prisoner series, that whole information thing, there's just too much information. I think even the Police wrote a song about it, too much information running through my brain. Now, this may seem a little juvenile. I'm not sure that it is, though. We're just being bombarded with everything. And these are the primary culprit for mental distress, as so many people are trying to understand what's happening, and the more they learn and the more information that they take in, the less they understand what's actually going on. And it just becomes more of a big smear of confusing information, point, counterpoint, agenda, counter-agenda. Who's really running things? So if there was some way, this mafia boss said, just limit your screen time to 1 hour a day. You need to have an hour for meditation, an hour dedicated to your family, an hour for this, an hour for that. In other words, make a schedule, plan your life, and execute it that way, and stay off of this thing. I think that's maybe a good idea. I mean, look what's happened when people started turning off CNN and MSNBC, and their numbers are going into the toilet. Somebody's pumping them up, because they've got to keep that propaganda going. But that's what this has been the entire time. It's not about truthful reporting and we'll give you the news you need to know. These guys in Dallas one time, it only lasted a day or two. I thought, I don't think that's a very good promo at all. Because this fellow comes out and goes, only the news you need to know. Well, he was trying to say they were going to abbreviate a little bit, but it came across as, we're just going to tell you what you need to know and that's all you're going to get. So they changed the promo. That's what they're doing to us. They're giving us only the news that they believe we need to know and nothing more. Before we got rolling here, you were talking about Kamala Harris. How does this person get any traction at all? And yet you go over to the Sludge Report and, oh, the Don is worried. Oh, Don's going to court. Oh, Chutkan is going to really accelerate this, whatever the latest trial is upcoming. And it's all about Trump bad, Trump bad. Oh, look, Kamala's up a point. Oh, look, she's up 2 points. I don't know what that person is even doing there. You talk about a psyop. What is her raison d'etre here within the political system? All she does is cackle and wave her hands around. I have yet to hear an intelligible sentence come out of that woman since I first found out about her. So I'm not sure I answered your question. That was kind of a shotgun out the back door answer. We're going to hit the target, but we're also going to hit a bunch of other stuff, right?
No, I think I'll see if I can pull this up here. I want to read to you a quote. This is the only intelligible thing I've ever heard her say that I understood from an intellectual standpoint here. And I'm going to quote here from my website. And this is an audio and it got produced into a graphic. Quote, and once Trump is gone, and this was June 18th, 2020. Once Trump is gone and we've regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you've supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out. In every corner of this great nation, we are coming for those who have betrayed us. And yes, she really did say that, John. So that may be the most salient thing I could understand intellectually of what she's ever said.
That probably made the most sense. And Of course, it's a threat. So my question to her is, who do you think you are?
A Bolshevik communist.
That's exactly what she is. This is Bolshevik Revolution 2.0 is what this is. Yeah. And it's being powered by the same suspects, the usual suspects, I call them, that started the first one. You know, you hear about 6 million Jews. Now, I'm not going to say something there is going to attract a bunch of Dave Hodges is hosting an anti-Semite. Wrong. I'm a Semite myself, and certainly an Israelite. And so are you, Dave, by the way. Yeah. But it is astounding to me that the conditioning people have gone through, and they just nod. You know, I started seeing the number 6 million going all the way back to December 2nd, 1914, where 6 million were deeply worried about the war in Europe. This man went through this huge presentation. It lasted at least 30 minutes, and he went into the archives of the New York Times and also the Montreal Gazette, and it was 6 million over and over again, 6 million on the verge of starvation, 6 million being displaced, and a few years ago, by the 6 million this and 6 million again. Just like this this Hamas attack on the state of Israel, it's 1,200. Not 1,251 or 1,230, just always 1,200, 1,200, 1,200. And one more time, why was CNN, Reuters, and the New York Times embedded on the Hamas side of the wire with photojournalists? Nobody ever talks about that. But those were the reports.
I've talked about that. I have to. Yeah. Hey, listen, that was a setup. There are too many people from the IDF that are retired in security that will tell
all
you,
of them.
We cover every inch of Israel and we can be anywhere in 3 minutes. And it took them 6 hours to respond. And that was a setup.
Yeah. And nothing but.
Yeah.
So when you roll that in, let's say, okay, let's pull the United States into another big distraction. This will worry the people even more. And let's make sure and get some protests going around the country. So we've got pro-Palestinian, we've got anti-Palestinian and all this. It's just engineered, artificial chaos.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's how Bolsheviks begin their takeover. You're exactly right. They attack you on multiple fronts to disguise where they're really going. And where they're going is to enslave us. And I'm going to be radical here, John. The longer I do this work, the more I look at the world through the lens of depopulation. How are they going to get rid of the majority of the people?
And why are they doing this? And their shock troops are obviously all these ones that don't speak the language. They have no sympathy with our culture whatsoever, while simultaneously what culture we did have is being dismantled pretty much in every. And just like is written in Scripture, every perversion you can think of is now on display for anybody who happens to walk by the screen at the same time. I mean, whoever thought we'd be hearing about, you know, eating children, barbecuing children, raping children, murdering children, tunnels underground, trafficking children. I mean, what is all of this? Oh, and the military's involved. We don't know that. Maybe. I don't know. I know they moved a lot of heroin back in the Vietnam days, right?
Yeah, they sure
so,
did.
I wonder sometimes, what's the point?
Well, I think it's a spiritual war. You know, I heard an interview. It was really telling. Bongino and Tucker Carlson were together. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched about 30 minutes of a two-hour interview. But in the course of those 30 minutes, Bongino and Tucker agreed on the following, that the people running the country are intent on tearing it down and establishing their own communist utopia. They both agreed on that. And then they both said this is a spiritual war and that the first victim, if they stay in power, are going to be the Christians, and then they'll work their way down. What do you think about that comment?
Well, there were 66 million, mostly Christians, who were annihilated during the Bolshevik Revolution and the reign of the Soviets that followed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your parallel's not lost on me, John. That's exactly right. But it is interesting now that Tucker is out from underneath News Corp and he's free to say what he wants, and Bongino's not on Fox, how they're saying what we've been saying essentially for years. It's as plain as the nose on our face. You know what I'm kind of stunned by, though, John? We've got terrible inflation, terrible interest rates. The energy sector has been destroyed by this administration. They're into reprobate behavior like cutting kids' genitals off, killing babies after they're born, post-term abortion. And yet there are some people in our country, a lot of them, that think they can ignore all this and sit it out. I don't see how they think that they're not next.
Well, that's the This may seem simplistic, and perhaps it is, but evil is stupid. And when people get pulled into it, they'll dress it up to make it look like, the best fashion sense. Oh, the best looking people, the most complicated agendas, the biggest payoff. But in the end, it's just crude and stupid. Well, they appeal to the more base elements of our humanity. We all know this, but their agenda right now is to mock, criticize, and ridicule anybody who suggests that there is an authority higher than our would-be rulers.
That's true.
They don't want any of that, not at all. And it seems so juvenile, and it is juvenile. It might even be infantile. But they're serious about it. This is who they are.
They are, and you're absolutely right. And I don't think anything was better on display to illustrate your point than the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics, where they mocked the Last Supper and Jesus. And you know what's interesting is there were a group of Christians that went around on a bus protesting that, and the French authorities threw them in jail and let this other crap go on. It's just incredible.
I don't see this ending well. I'm wondering what the Black Swan event is not always a bad thing. It has a negative connotation, but I'm just wondering, particularly in this case, if maybe there isn't a Black Swan event awaiting them with a capital T. I don't think they're going to get their way. I really don't. I think they'll cause a lot of chaos and a lot of wringing of hands and all that, but I do not believe they're going to win.
Yeah, I agree. But here, I want to get your opinion on something. I've got friends I really respect that think that, okay, God's justice will be done. And I agree. In the end of the day, that's true. But they're using that as the excuse to sit out the battle. And my personal opinion is I don't think we're called to be passive observers. I think we're supposed to be active participants in setting things right. How do you look at this?
Well, the Lord said, I'm paraphrasing here, any of you have a cloak, got a coat, something? Yeah, I have. Yeah, we have. We all have. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You take that cloak and also take your bag and all the rest of your scrip, and you sell that stuff and buy a sword. I don't think he was speaking metaphorically at all. And let's not forget what he did in the temple. He didn't go in and say, would you moneylenders please leave? He fashioned a whip and started wailing on them, overturning their tables. You mugs, get out of here. So I don't think we're supposed to sit by. We've been conditioned to be passive, very nice little Christians. No fighting, no ugliness, just hold your position. I don't think that's what Lord Jesus was saying at all. I think what he was saying was, you people had better get ready to get it on because this is just beginning. And it's not going to get better before it gets worse. So I think we're in for a real no kidding brawl, a bad one.
Yeah,
I
and they
do.
know it too. Kamala's semi-lucid comment speaks to this. I remember when she first thought she had the nomination, one of her first comments was, I'm going to give Congress 100 days when I'm president to take the guns. And if they don't do it, I'll do it by executive order. And I'm thinking, well, why would someone really be that obsessed with taking our guns? And the reality is, because they don't want us to be able to defend ourselves. There was a study done, and it's ongoing, at the University of Hawaii. It's called the Democide Project, and they studied the 16 genocides in the 20th century. And John, every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation.
Oh, sure.
And so what she's telling you is her threat that I just read to you, and that comment, she's saying, if you don't fall into line, we are coming for you. We're going to kill you.
Well, my question would be, what makes her think that some people won't be coming for her?
Oh, they will be. If
I mean,
Donald Trump had been assassinated, what do you think would have happened, John?
That's hard to answer. David, that's hard to answer because I immediately went to these anti-immigration riots in the UK that are going on now. I wonder, number one, how much of that is fabricated. Because it doesn't look like the gay men in the street stripped down to their skivvies with their blue fans, all moving them in unison, you know, in these various positions, up against these guys that have got these knives that you hold it from the side and the blade's that tall toward the end and tapers out to where it's not much thinner at the tip. I'm wondering, who do we think would win between these two crews fighting together? So I don't know how to answer that one. I truly don't. Normally, I can come
you
up
just
with
gave
an
me an
answer.
Image I can't get rid of. I got to
It
cleanse
was the
my
most.
Mind here.
It was so pathetic. It was so sad to see these men doing this. But I would offer this comment.
I think there's reality there because we're seeing something similar in Ireland. The French have gone through it and are going through it to some degree, except the police are being real repressive now that they got the Olympics there. But you look at Venezuela's ready to go into civil war. The police are taking off uniforms and giving the people guns. And I'm getting this from people that are there. And I think that this country is a powder keg right now. I want to get your opinion on this. What happened on July 13th with Donald Trump? Was that an inside job, in your opinion?
It's either that or an extraordinarily well-engineered case of total and abject incompetence. So, yeah, none of the honchos, including Cheadle, will testify. They saw this guy. You know, when I first saw that shot of President Trump on the screen, I thought, wow, what a security nightmare. Why are all those people all around him like this? Of course, you know, camera angles and depth of field and everything else, you can't really tell how close they are to him. But I sensed something was weird the moment that I saw him. And you know what's interesting? I got a piece of intel. It came from up the line. I can't, and I was told you can't say anything more. But something was going to happen between the 10th and the 15th, and it did.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
I heard
so
that.
It did. It did happen. So I think it was completely an inside job. I think these people are so absolutely desperate and so beholden to their masters, whom we know not, as far as their identity is concerned. I don't think it was Klaus Schwab calling any shots. The people who run this thing are people whose names we have never heard and probably never will. Every once in a while, I mean, you've got your stars out there. You know, you've got your Hararis and your Gates and this and that. Who's running them? They're not freelancing on their own. They can't. They cannot have that kind of money and that kind of clout and be running things themselves. So there is some, you know, here we go. There's some hidden hand, and I mean it is hidden too. But whose hand could it be? And this may sound primitive to some people. I don't think it will to you, because as you indicated, this is a spiritual war. And everything is a contradiction now. What was always regarded as right is now wrong. What was regarded as wrong or base or perverse, well, that's all on the table now. It's all fine. At the same time, I think that we have been, part of the problem is that we have been under the impression that somehow there were honest institutions, that there were some things about the leadership of the country, the judiciary, the executive branch, the legislative branch. There were some things that were inherently good about these things. And yet, when you look at the Statue of Liberty, just for starters, and realize Statue of Liberty, that's Queen Semiramis. Why is there a statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C., right by Judiciary Square, Nobody's tearing that down. One of the founders of the KKK, the author of Morals and Dogma, effectively the Freemason's Bible. Why is that okay? And Robert E. Lee is not. So, and then what you mentioned about the opening ceremony of the Paris Olympics, what a disgraceful display of infantile, we want to be nasty, we want to be evil, we like the devil, you know. Makes no sense. This is not adult behavior. And yet, they did it. So, why are we seeing this? And why are we seeing this now? I sense the approach of the Great One, meaning our Father in Heaven. I just wonder how long he's going to let this go before we see his hand visibly do things that nobody could predict, nobody could prevent, and nobody could cause themselves.
You know, I'm looking at a counterbalance reaction. There are some people out there, and I haven't quite made up my mind on this, John. I think there's some evidence, but I don't know how complete this is, that within our military, and I don't mean the Joint Chiefs, they're a lost cause, but within our military, there is a sympathy to stand up for the people when the time is right. I'm not sure about that. I hope it's true. Do you have an opinion on that?
I do wonder what became of all those tens of thousands of, you remember back in around about 2015 or so, when Obama fired all these mid-rank officers, got rid of lots of captains and majors and so forth. Yes. I think he purged the Patriots out. And I think there is an element of that that is valid. And but, I mean, these military men, that just because they get older doesn't mean they can't fight, can't strategize, can't do any of those things. But they seem to be trying to, the they with a capital T, they seem to be trying to draw out the timeline so that people either become despondent, they lose interest, or they get too old to do any fighting, put it that way. And that's an oversimplification, but they're just waiting to see what will collapse on its own, what will be forgotten about, what will be disregarded, what will be ignored, and then they'll make their move, whatever that move is. It is disturbing, though, when you consider all these people that are flooding into the country still. What we're seeing in England, or in the UK, is, I think that's the pre-show to what we're liable to see here, because sooner or later that's going to happen here. So maybe the idea is to destabilize Western civilization rather than actually blow it up and completely destroy it. Just set the people on each other. Flood the country with a bunch of people that and pick a country and let them go at each other, and then penalize the ones that that actually belong there, the actual citizens. Oh, you're racist, you're this, you're that, you know, you're a nationalist. I mean, everybody's got to have a label and a name tag now, right? So maybe that's part of it too.
Well, if your goal is to tear down nationalism and install globalism, this is a proper first step. I totally agree with you. But I think, you know, I'll tell you where my mind goes in this. It's not so much that cohesive military units are going to stand up initially, but you know how Navy SEALs are. You know how Army Rangers are. To do what they do, they have to be fiercely loyal to the cause, the sacrifice they make. And would I be surprised if things went to hell in a handbasket that we didn't see ex-spec ops or even current spec ops carry out missions against those they think are responsible? That wouldn't shock me at all, John.
Not at all. And when you've got 10,000 freelancers out there, they're going to be really hard to track.
Yeah.
And very, very difficult, if not impossible, to predict. So, I mean, hopefully it won't come to that. Now, granted, I believe that some major, major payback should be meted out to the deserving, I do. But nobody wants to see the ugliness that comes with a real brutal takedown.
I agree.
However, we are sometimes forced to witness these unpleasant things. I mean, Friday is Nagasaki Day. And Tuesday was Hiroshima Day. I said, what are you talking about? Well, two targets of no military importance whatsoever got blown up. So how much of our own population are those people who want to control this? They hate this country. They hate us. They hate what we stand for. What do we stand for? I mean, how many of them on the other side of things are willing to do a Hiroshima, I think is the right way to say it, and a Nagasaki number on us? Not necessarily with nukes, but I'm talking about that kind of destructive power to destroy an entire city. Just do it two or three times, then say, settle down or your town may be next. I mean, how maniacal are they prepared to go? Probably pretty maniacal, probably all the way.
In my early days of radio, I had a news assistant, and she and I used to have this discussion frequently. Is there anything the left won't do to stay in power? And we actually speculated, thinking, well, there might be a limit. Today, the way I answer that question, I don't think there's anything that they won't do. Their game's about power. It's not even about money anymore. It's about power.
It always has been.
I look at this, and there's so many moving parts. I will tell you this. I've got a really, really good ex-military source. And if I told you, and I can't say it publicly, but if I told you the things he was involved in, you go, holy crap. And if we're ever face-to-face, I will tell you if our cell phones aren't in range. But
right.
But I asked him about this so-called white hat military. I said, I'm getting this a lot. I don't see a lot of evidence for it. And he said, Dave, I don't either. But he says, I'll tell you what, if it's happening, he said, they do have their own chain of command. It's so covert that there probably are very few, if any, leaks. And I said, well, what's the emanation point? He said, the people out of Cheyenne Mountain and also the Space Force. I thought it was a pretty interesting observation.
Yeah, it is. Just as a aside here, what's your understanding of Space Force? What is it?
Well, there were two secret space forces. They actually bifurcated. My dad was actually involved in this. They had the secret space force that would give stuff to NASA, but a watered down technology. Okay. And they got their technology from reverse engineering the theoretical physics of the Nazi scientists and then sticking that in laboratories, and MIT and DARPA would develop it. Okay. Then the CIA, they couldn't take that over, and they tried. And my dad talked a lot about the battles that went on. They actually bifurcated some of that force, and there was a second force that's still in existence today, controlled by the CIA and some international operatives. The other secret space force, the original one, the bigger one, Trump actually made public. And no one ever asked this question. How do you take something that supposedly never existed, and the next day they're an official agency in full operation with a command structure? And I was asking that question because I knew a little bit about the history, and that's the Space Force we have today. They may change who the director is, but they ain't changing the people inside. And I know a couple of the people associated with that program, and I'm telling you, they are fiercely loyal to this country. It's like a lot what people say about the submarine fleet, very similar analogy. But then there's this other group that the CIA controls that's giving technology to Russia and China to try to take out our satellites if we go to war. The CIA is actually working against our national interests.
Yeah, I believe that. The funny thing is that the battle lines have really not been very well defined. I suspect we work with the Russians behind the scenes on more things than anybody would ever guess. I mean, I've heard all kinds of things over the months and years, including that the Russians actually launched on us a nuclear missile, or that's the word, is that they launched on us. I don't know, and that is what resulted in the Clancy book and then the Hunt for Red October. But that was supposed to be a real thing. So I don't know. And in fact, looking at these, that's what I mean about the swirling information. It's all over the place. But where's the actual answer to our question? The Hiroshima and Nagasaki blasts, a German went over there after the war, shortly after that, and went looking around, and he didn't see any shadow people, you know, on the wall. He said he did not see any damage to any of those buildings that was any different to a regular bombed out building that he'd seen plenty of in Germany. And there were traces of cesium there, but might have been a dirty bomb. So I'm beginning to wonder if it doesn't go all the way back to there, to where there was no actual nuclear bomb detonated. Oh, it was a major bomb. Oh, it was terrible. But what if it turned out that we tried to make it look like we had nuclear weapons? Well, simultaneously, you know, you've got the infiltrators over here for the Soviets, you know, the Soviet silver master spies and all that, trying to get a nuclear, trying to help Soviet Union with its nuclear program, because they didn't have one either. I'm just wondering if that was a bunch of smoke and mirrors and propaganda. I mean, I saw an explosion the other day in a photograph. It looked very much like the depiction of an atomic bomb going off in Japan. Oh, look, it looks almost exactly the same. So they had what we would call photoshopping techniques even back then. So how much of our entire existence, the things that we believe are real and the things that we believe are not real, how much of either is actually true? I mean, it really is. I'm going to bounce back to the prisoner again. It is all about mind control. And once you control the mind, then I think it's easier. I think a case can be made for it being easier to control, to gain access to and control the souls of people. Because good and evil does exist. I'm pretty sure nobody can deny this. There's no relativism when it comes to certain kinds of evil, and there is no relativism to certain kinds of good. The upper levels of good and evil, or the upper levels of good and the lowest depths of evil. So I just wonder if the idea really is to completely demoralize people, not mentally, but spiritually, to the point where they just give up. They just give up. And since we're only here for a few decades, we're going to die. That's one thing that's absolutely guaranteed. We will all pass away. But where were we before we got here? And where are we going to be once we pass away from here? This is just a machine. We know these things are real. We know that ghosts have visited people. They've moved stuff around in the house. We know that this interdimensional activity is real. Mm-hmm. So maybe the idea is just to continue to cut us off from the truth. And it's really no more complicated than that, because the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the enemy, whatever you want to call him, he's the same bad guy. He's a counterfeit. Everything he does is a counterfeit. So we can amuse ourselves by asking, well, why? I don't know. Maybe in the celestial realm, they have nothing else to do. Maybe this is just what they do. Well, no, that's not going to work. That's the answer. The answer is, it's what they do. Why does a scorpion act the way it does? Because it does. So maybe it's that simple, and we just can't accept the simplicity. No, I don't know.
I think you're really onto something there. And, you know, one of the telling things for me, and it really gets almost no mainstream media coverage, is near-death experiences, because I don't think the mainstream media, that's ultimately controlled by the evil one, they don't want to hear that people went and saw Jesus, they went to heaven, they come back with remarkably similar stories to each other. You know, I've actually thought, you know, I used to teach research in STAT, among other things, and I would love to do a research story on near-death experience. In fact, actually, I've actually considered, could I ever clear enough time to do that? Because to me, just looking at it anecdotally, John, the evidence is overwhelming that there's a creator. He's in charge. And this is a test for us to go to the next level. And this is a repetitive message. And yet, to me, it's fascinating. People love it when you present it. But the mainstream media, this would increase their ratings, they don't touch it, because I think of the God factor.
I think that's exactly right. And I don't know how much the devil being the prince of the power of the air, I don't know how much that features, but it certainly seems to it seems to feature quite prominently when you consider everything that's going out over the air being everything from the internet to the phone service to the radio stations to the television stations and all of that. The prince of the power of the air, what exactly does that mean? Well, maybe there's a UFO component there, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've been looking at this stuff going all the way back to the Frill Maidens back in the late 20s and 30s and so forth. I mean, those gals, they were onto something. They really were. And so there's so much more that's unknown to us than is known. We get a little peek at it here and there, and that's what we do. That's what people like you, people like me, that's what we do. We see a little clue, we put it over here because it doesn't connect to anything, but it is interesting. Then we get something else that seems to be related to it. And it takes a while. We want what we want when we want it. We don't want to have to wait years to get the answer to our question. Unfortunately, that's not our call. So I think we probably know maybe 1% of what is to be known that would relate directly just to our existence, let alone the rest of the cosmos. I think we're just in still pretty much in caveman and cavewoman land. That's what I really think. It's just we're struggling and we're trying to get answers to things, and we come around to the same old thing. Same seven deadly sins and the same breaking of the Ten Commandments. There's not eight. There's not 11 or nine.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I had a lady ask me, she said, Dave, I've followed you for years and years and years, and some of the things you said in the past have come true. So based on that, what do you think is going to happen in the future? And I said, well, look, I said, the sun shines on a dog's rear, you know, once a day. Okay. So I said, I'm not going to take any great claim here, but you're asking me what's going to happen. And here was my answer for it. And this was last week. And I said, I have to be honest with you. I said, right now we're stepping into a war that at least in the short term, either side could win. And I said, with devastating consequences if the wrong side wins. And I explained what I meant by the wrong side. And I said, she said, well, if you were to hedge a bet, what do you think? And I wanted to ask you the same question. Does Trump survive to the election? Can they cheat enough to win it? Not what we hope will be true. What do you think logically is the most likely outcome, knowing it's just a guess?
Well, I see three possibilities. One is, maybe four, that this chutkan makes it impossible for President Trump to run again. Now, one of those idiots there, I can't remember who it is at the moment, said, well, we'll disqualify. Who was it that just recently, it was just yesterday, said...
Jamie Raskin.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible that the courts will get in the way, and then in that case, who do we have to run, and how, and if there, I mean, this is so engineered for failure of the, I mean, just altogether. So this is a hard one, David, and I'll tell you why. All right, let's say the courts have their way, and all of a sudden, former President Trump's disqualified. Okay, fine. Now we got to find another candidate. Well, who's the candidate going to be?
Vance.
I think they're locked into it.
Don't you think they're locked into Vance if that were to happen?
I hope not, because I don't think that person is who we think he is at all. But that's just me. Now we got to hustle to get that done. So Kamala Harris winds up, or whatever her name really is, she winds up being president. And Elon Musk has just said, you know, that Kamala Harris is quite literally a communist. She not only wants equal opportunity, she wants equal outcomes. Well, that means everybody's equal, everybody just like everybody else, which means that you effectively make everybody nobody. So that's where she is. The other one is, the other possibility is that this does not happen in court. Supreme Court steps in and says, this is bogus. This is, you've weaponized the legal system. You know, you can't do this. Okay, so there we are. So President Trump's elected. Now the left goes crazy. Or simultaneously, we get pulled into a larger war in the Middle East, just almost spontaneously. Now he's a... Now they got him back on his heels. Okay. The other one is that we know they're going to steal the election again, just like they did in 2020. I mean, how much evidence do we need that the election was tampered with on a spectacular level? All right. So fine. So Kamala Harris becomes president. Now you've got the possibility of two reactions. One is the one that everybody kind of goes to. Or not everybody, but most people go to, which is insurrection. You know, the white supremacists and the Nazis and the racists and all them, they'll object to this woman of color being elected. It's like, oh, shut up. We, you know, would you just shut up and stop with that? Well, what do you mean? What I mean is those names that you continue to call people are lame. They do not apply. And you're making yourself look like even more of an idiot by continuing to use them. Well, if you want to put it that way, but it is Nazi-like. Do you even know what Nazi means? It's just like homeboy. It means nationalist. Just like Sotsi means socialist. So, if Harris wins, explosion. I suspect that the reaction will not be the violent blowback that they want. I suspect it will be non-compliance with everything.
I agree. It's kind of like an employee that hates his job, but they stay and quit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's going to be any violent backlash at all. I think the violent backlash is going to be when they activate these cells inside the country, and they are here.
Yeah.
I mean, this place is crawling with terrorists and people who will do anything for money. Some of them have their families held in other countries under the watchful eye of the so-called security services over there, and they're going to do exactly what they're told to do for fear that their families will be harmed if they do not. So it's just really ugly. But this is an opportunity. David, there's only one way out of this, and that's to believe in the power of Father God Almighty, to believe in the power of prayer and use that power and pray that our Father in heaven does something wonderful, something that nobody predicts, nobody can deny once it's happened, and something that is very, very effective that only He could construct. Some people would call that a miracle. Other people would call it common sense, no pun intended, on steroids. Something like that. If it's a spiritual war, then maybe we ought to stop all this hand-wringing and just hit the knees and pray fervently and sincerely and just say, Father, we're in a real spot here. And we deserve to be in this spot. We let our churches be infiltrated by all these pervs. We let the Catholic Church get away with what they got away with in the, at the Boston diocese. You know, we've let these contemporary churches turn into hookup places. You know, for you know, we've done a lot of things wrong, but at least we know that we have, and we're sorry about it. Could you help us out just one more time? And then leave it at the foot of the throne and just let him deal with it or not. It's his call. It's his world. It's his universe. We don't tell him what to do. He tells us what to do. That's just how it is. I don't see a man-made solution to this. That may sound really primitive to some people, but I don't. Looking back over history and seeing all the idiotic stuff that nations have done to each other over the years, and these primitive nations still that have lived in such deprivation, they don't care about chopping people's heads off. That would make most of us absolutely, you know, hurl. It would make us throw up to do any of that. These people do this stuff every day. And these cartels are so brutal down there. They do things to people I wouldn't even attempt to describe to anybody in your audience or mine, for that matter, although I do sometimes, just a little bit, just so people will get a sense of how horrible people can behave to each other. And we know this, but it's another thing when you see it. Somebody wants to take the country down, and they're going to pull out all the stops to get that done. If they can do it through an election, they will. If they have to go to activating cells and just start creating mayhem, they'll do that. I mean, these idiots, this Starmer character over in the UK, he is a dedicated illegal immigration kind of guy. And oh yeah, let's bring all these immigrants into the country. And the people from they call them Hispanic. That word, I go back and forth. There was Hispano Suiza, you know, the Spanish and the Swiss who got back in World War One. But anyway, that was supposed to have been an expression or a word made up by Dwight Eisenhower. I don't think that's true. I don't think he made it up at all. But they say that the population growth, something like 90% of the population growth in this country has been because Hispanics are here. And they get them all registered to vote. And so,
John, we have 190 countries with illegal immigrants here. It's not just Hispanics.
Right.
We have seven divisions of Chinese in numerical. I spoke at Take Our Borders Back at the end of June in San Diego. I rubbed elbows with a lot of Border Patrol guys. 100 to 200,000 terrorists is what the estimate is, the range. But they were pretty clear. We're getting 10,000 CHICOM males of military age. And they said if you add it up, it's seven divisions. We have totally been overrun. It's by design because if they can't win the election, you're right, like a rabid dog, they're going to turn these people loose on us. I agree with you. There's something else you said too, and I agree with it. I want to emphasize this because it's very biblical what you just said. Jesus walked on water. He turned stone into bread, water into wine, and then he went on to say, "This I do, and you can do more." In other words, if we would collectively pray, Jesus showed us the way to take on tyranny. But he also showed us the way too. You said it earlier about going through the temple and taking care of the bankers with the whip. There is a time for that too. And that's why I don't think we can just stay and quit, but I agree with you. Collective prayer could very possibly change a lot. And everyone is also so fatalistic, John, and they might be right. We could be heading into tribulation. I know that a lot of the signs are there, Israel nation 1948. I get that. But we don't know God's will. If we repented, we might be Nineveh as opposed to Babylon. And God may spare us and just say, I'm putting off the tribulation for a later time. I don't know. But I don't think we should be inactive. That's the point. And when you said that we need to appeal to Father God, you are absolutely correct. Because the infestation of this country of satanic Bolshevik communists, it's reached a stage four cancerous level.
Yeah, I mean, whatever happened to that building with all the underground tunnels up there is up there in Brooklyn, wasn't it? Where supposedly, these matches are found and children's clothes and little soft toys and bloody matches and everything else. I mean, don't hear anything about that. So as long as we are controlled by other people and we seek their counsel and we seek their approval rather than go to our Father in heaven and pray, and he'll answer you. People don't believe it. People tend to think that if you just, Father, just tell me something, show me something,
Yeah, exactly.
that it's going to be the product of your imagination. They don't believe
Absolutely.
it, but they should, because they're missing the most valuable jewel of their entire lives is actually being able to reach out to the great one who sent you here and get a response. It may not be in words in your head. It could be just like, oh, well, that wasn't like that before. Well, wait a minute. Hello? Yes? What? Oh, that's wonderful. Can I call you back? I'm in the middle of something. Oh, Father, thank you for that. How did this happen? But then you go on with what just happened, and you get into the fruit of that you just had land in a nice basket in your lap, but you forget about where it came from. Because now you're into the I got what I wanted, here I go. And people go, oh, don't need God anymore. I've already got what I want. I mean, that's just how we are. So we cannot be double-minded. It's either all the way in or all the way out. You either
I
believe or you don't. I'll stop now.
no, I totally agree with you because I still think we remain active. I mean, all work against let's put it this way. A lot of people don't like Trump. He's a deist, they say, and all these other criticisms we hear. Okay, and here's my answer to them. Who's going to kill you faster? Kamala or Trump? Is there any question? And honestly, I think Donald Trump fancies himself as the second coming of George Washington, and he wants his legacy of having saved the country. That's how I read the man. I think he's driven by his ego. And I'm saying if he preserves the country in the right way, then I don't care what he believes in terms of his own self-worth. I hope he's successful. So I think we need to be active, but I agree with you. We need to invoke the power of prayer. It's the untapped resource that we're not using. John, we got about a couple of minutes left, and I won't do my audience justice if you don't talk about your show a little bit and how they can become a part of it, okay?
Oh, it's pretty easy to do. Thanks for that, Dave. Let us remember one thing, just as just an addendum, just a little note on what you just said. Nobody is in power that Father God doesn't put them there.
That's true.
After that, it's up to us whether we follow that leader or not. We're 6 nights a week, just 2 hours, Monday through Friday, and we go over a number of radio stations, delivered to us by satellite. We also stream the show on YouTube. It's just Caravan to Midnight. And on Saturday, We do 3 hours, and we call it the ARC Midnight Intelligence Briefing. And we talk with, you know, generals and admirals and doctors and people of all stripes. It's really, really quite enriching. So thanks for that. It's 9 o'clock Central is when it starts rolling. 9 to 11 Monday through Friday and 9 to midnight on Saturday. And this weekend will be a little bit different because Gene Ho has his he's launching George Magazine again out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. So there may be a little variation in schedule because of that. But Gene's a good guy, and Pastor Bob Joyce. You know, there's some rumors about Pastor Bob Joyce. Have you heard these? If you ever hear him sing, you'll say he sounds an awful lot like Elvis. So I don't know. Stranger things have happened, right? So anyway, we'll see.
Oh, that's pretty, boy. That's a good cliffhanger to leave the show. That's pretty good. I'm going to be telling that story. That's good. I like the one though with the wall behind the dartboard. That was a great metaphor. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been John Wells, and if you're not a part of Caravan to Midnight, you really need to become it because it's where the truth is spoken. And John has proven himself over time, and I think you can see that from this interview. John, thanks so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you.
God bless you and yours, David. Thanks for having me on today.
Take care, my friend.
You too.